Let's share time in prayer. I fear one day, Lord, that the people of God will not know the old hymns of the faith. As David led us through this series of hymns today, surrounding our time of sharing communion, it will be a sad time that these hymns of the faith that were so encouraging and strengthening to the body through the years will one day be lost. We've been told that we take out of our treasure both that which is old and new. And Isaiah tells us to sing a new song unto the Lord, but not only just new songs, but we should sing the hymns of the faith along with those. So I'm thankful for having that time this morning to do that. And I pray that as we now look to the Word, that we'll be ready to listen with fresh ears and look with new eyes at every passage of Scripture that we approach in our lives, knowing that the wonder of your Word is such that it can be fresh and new every morning. I pray the blessing on the Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Over the past several weeks, we've been looking at the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We have been looking at that promise that Jesus gave that after I leave, and it's important that I leave because until I leave, the Spirit will not come. And so the Spirit comes. And as the Spirit comes, it has a role in our life. And as David shared with you in the opening, it's part of the plan of God. It was God's plan that not only His Son would die a sacrificial death for our sins, but that the Spirit would come then and dwell our lives and begin to be a power in us to shape us into what we can be by the power of God. So the Holy Spirit indwells us at conversion. And it is available to us, and I use the word available because the Holy Spirit will not be coercive. He will not force Himself. He will not do His work. It is a power available to us. And if we utilize that power, His goal is that we be filled with all the fullness of God. So it's not instantaneous. It doesn't just happen in a moment of time. His indwelling does. But then we go through a process. A process of growth, a process of change. And as we are doing that, what is involved is we're putting off the old ways, we're putting off the old nature, and we're putting on the new. And that is a process of growth and change. Paul describes it as just one degree of glory of change to the other. We couldn't handle it if one day we go from this old self to this full-blown fullness of God. You know, it would not be something we could contain or be able to work with. So we've got to grow in this process. So we're learning to live in a new way. And the Holy Spirit in us brings power, a resurrection power that Paul says, I pray that you would come to know the extent of the power that the Spirit brings in you. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That's what we're talking about. Now, How then will the Spirit seek to accomplish His work? Jesus gave a summary statement. He said He will convict, teach, lead, guide, and glorify Jesus. That will be the role, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He will convict. Convict is a concept of press to that which is right, to that which is wrong. And that conviction of the Holy Spirit is one way in which He works in our lives. He will teach us. Jesus said He will teach you all things. He will lead you to truth, and truth is the only thing that will set us free. And He will guide us in the way that we walk in this new dimension with all intention that Jesus be glorified, that the Father be glorified through the Son. Now, if we desire this and we cooperate with this, then there's a new change in our life, our lives can have a different and new result. Now, you're familiar with this sentence that I've just given you, that the Spirit will teach, lead, guide, glorify Jesus, and will convict you according to sin and righteousness. But Jesus, as he's teaching the disciples, doesn't stop there. He has one more piece of the role that the Holy Spirit will have in our lives that doesn't get much notice. And really, when you hear him say it, it's kind of like, wow, how does that work? And how could that be important? And how could that be part of this list of important things like convict, teach, lead, and guide, and glorify? Well, turn to John's Gospel, chapter 14, please. All right, have you got there? After the time we had at the sunrise service, if I ask somebody to read, they think I'm going to grill them. But I promise if you read for me, I'll just let you read, okay? Joy, would you read John 14, 26?
But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you.
So the add-on, the additional piece is what?
Bring to your remembrance.
The Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance all that I have said. Now, he must have had some of us in mind when he said, you need help. You need help to remember things. And so what does this mean? The Holy Spirit will call to our remembrance all that I've spoken. Now, commentators, scholars, those who read the scriptures and try to help us who don't know what we're doing be guided along the way, they take this statement that Jesus makes in the upper room as he's teaching the apostles, and they say, well, that's just for the 12. Call to your remembrance all that I've said. That's not for everybody. Now, I was at a highbrow apologetics conference in Atlanta, and there was 15 of us attending a week-long seminar with this international apologist. And they came to this verse of scripture, and that's what they said. And being the quiet, reserved kind of guy that I am, I sat on my hands and didn't say anything. I rose to my feet and I said, boys, you may think that's only for the apostle, but I have to tell you, I experienced this. It happens. The Holy Spirit calls to my remembrance things that I can't grasp. You know, I'm studying something, I'm working on something, and the Holy Spirit helps me out. Well, now what they were trying to do is say that the apostles are going to be writing scriptures. So they hadn't been writing things down, you know, because they didn't expect Jesus to lead. And if you'd have told them one day they're going to have to record things so it can be part of scripture, they would have said, no way. So they do have this ministry. But the facts are that if this is only for the apostles, how many of the four gospels were written by an apostle? Was Matthew an apostle? Yep, one of the original 12. Was Mark? Nope. Mark comes along in Paul's ministry. He picks him up in the second missionary journey. What about Luke? Is he one of the original 12? Nope. Who is Luke? He's a physician that we picked up in the third missionary journey. And so then the fourth gospel is John, and he was. So only two of the disciples that are going to be writing the gospel are present and get under this blessing. So you can't say it's only reserved for the 12 because two of the others who were there are writing the gospel story. And the other thing is, don't rob me of something that I enjoy and consider to be one of the highlights of my relationship with the Lord. You know, so it's not only for the 12. Indeed, the Spirit helped them remember the things of Jesus, inspired them to write, as the Spirit helped others to write and capture the story of Jesus. Now, what I want to press for you here is that scripture, and while I'm doing this, Eric, look up the 2 Timothy 3:16, please. Now, what I want to press with you is this. One of the great tools that the Spirit has to work with in our lives to accomplish His goal, to teach, lead, and guide us, and lead us to the fullness of God, is the Scriptures. But how many verses do you think there are in the Scripture? Several, right? And some of the of those passages of Scripture are stacked away in places where you don't often go, okay? Now, read 2 Timothy 3:16 for us, Eric, please.
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
All right, so what does that tell you there that the value of Scripture has? All Scripture is inspired by God. It's profitable for teaching, for correction, for reproof, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete. Now, the role of the Spirit then is, He's saying, as you store this Scripture into your mind and your memory, I will help bring those passages up to help you understand your reading of the Scriptures. Now, I maintain with you that many people, when they're struggling in life and they need a word of encouragement, they're struggling to deal with an issue that's going on in their life. Maybe it's something they need to correct, something that needs to change. Or they're looking at a passage of Scripture and they're just overwhelmed with, I don't know what in the world this means. Or there's a challenge of Scripture, like, do unto others you'd have them do unto you. Okay, what does that mean? How does that really flesh itself out? And you're standing in the midst of all of that, and they're trying to say, help me out here, God. And so the only thing they got is what I call Bible roulette. You spin the pages of the Bible and you stop and say, well, maybe I'm lucky and I'll find a verse here. Now, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance things that you have placed in your mind that you have trouble grabbing a hold of right now. And He will take those passages of Scriptures and help you be illuminated in what you are struggling with. Now, Ephesians 3:16. Ron, would you turn there, please? Now, I'm going to lay, you've been around me long enough to know I'm laying just a foundation here. And then I'm going to pull them all together with a big rope. Okay? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Ron, would you read, please?
That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man.
Grant you to be strengthened with power through the Spirit in where? In your inner man. Now, okay. I don't want to depend on the power of my intellect, the power of my cognitive thinking to grasp the things of God. In order to grasp the things of God, I want God talking to me. I want God helping me. I want God working with me. And I don't want it to be an email. I don't want it to be some kind of disconnected process of thing, but working with me individually. And that's what God desires. Being strengthened with power in your inner being. Calling to our remembrance. Remembering things. You know, I'm really a simplistic kind of guy. You know, things come to me that, in unique ways, but when I remember something, when I think of something, I almost have a conversation with who? Myself, okay? It's as if a voice is speaking to me, right? A thought comes up, an idea comes up, and all of a sudden here I'm having this conversation, and who am I talking to? You know, but I feel that way, right? Okay. When I feel the pain of conscience, the press that something is wrong and I'm not to go there, or the press that something is right and I need to go do that thing, once again, it feels like what? Someone's talking to me. Someone is saying, that's wrong. And someone is saying, that's right. And when a thought comes up, I'm trying to entertain that thought and trying to figure out where it came from. And so I want to maintain with you that when Jesus said, one of the role of the Spirit is He will call to your remembrance the things that I have said. Now every thought that comes into my head doesn't come from God. And my conscience is not equal to the voice of God, but God can use both of these. When I feel the press, and it comes wrapped in the presence of God, then I can have a conversation with God in that moment. When I feel that thing that is pressing upon me, that this is wrong, then it's time for me to have that conversation with God that is saying, help me understand then why it's wrong. Help me have the power to overcome that. When I feel the press of conscience that says, go and do this thing, which you should do, respond to this need, once again, it's the opening of a conversation with God. God can use my conscience as an avenue of an opening of relationship and a conversation with Him. Now, when I'm dealing with Scripture, when I'm dealing with a concept of the faith, and I'm praying, God, help me understand it. Help me understand how to implement this concept. Then a thought can come. A Scripture can come. And all of a sudden I'm saying, oh, wow. I never thought of that. Thank you. It's now come up now, and now that's going to help me understand what I'm trying to deal with. Now, if you allow God to speak to you with Scripture, being reminded of Scripture, you must understand that you're entering dangerous territory. Now, how could it be dangerous to allow God to call Scripture to come to your mind? In Matthew chapter 4, it says, after Jesus' baptism, he was driven by the Spirit where? Into the wilderness. And who showed up? And what was he carrying with him to confront Jesus with and try to misdirect his ministry? Scripture. Did he not say to Jesus, is it not written? You shall dash your foot against the stone, and if you're not found, the angels will catch you. So guess what? You want to draw a crowd? Go up to the top of the temple, pitch yourself off, and the angels are going to catch you. Every Scripture that comes to mind is not of God. I maintain with you that as Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved, rightly handling the Word of God. Now, in 2 Peter, that's easy to find. Somebody go to Revelation, back up to 2 Peter. Raise your hand when you find 2 Peter 3 and you can read for me. You got it? Okay, David.
What verse?
14 through 16, please. Chapter 3, 14 through 16.
So then, dear friends, since we are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave to him. Next verse, Jim.
Go ahead.
He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letter contains some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction.
Now, reading the Bible can lead to your own destruction. Now, the devil has been very successful in twisting Scripture. He's been very successful. Look at the faith that we are participating in now, which we call Protestantism. It's divided. It's separated. It's alienated from each other. Why? Because somebody takes a passage of Scripture that the devil hammers with them on, and they create disfellowship instead of unity. Now, here is a concept that you need to understand. What can be the voice of God must always be tested. What can be the voice of God needs to be owned as the voice of God. There's a huge difference in Googling something and it telling you this is the verse you ought to read, and having God point you to a verse and says, I say this is the verse you ought to read. One comes with power, the other is just information. But now, in order for this to work in my life, I have to know the voice of God, distinguish the difference, and seek for it. Now, obviously, if the Spirit is going to call to our remembrance scriptures that are correct and right and inform, you know, this concept that Scripture informs Scripture. The best way to interpret Scripture is how? By Scripture. If you got a Scripture and you got an interpretation of that Scripture and you drop down in Genesis and you roll with it all the way through the book of Revelation, you can still hold on to it, then you're okay. But you should seek not the opinion of men about what this verse means, but you should seek for God to teach you what this means. And as you work with it, that can happen. But understand this. If the bucket is empty, meaning your memory of scriptures that you put in there, then what does the Spirit have to draw from?
Nothing.
He will not quote scripture to you that you've never read. He will not give you scripture that you've never took time to ponder and understand. Hear me when I say, Psalms 1 is a powerful psalm. Let's all turn to Psalm 1, please. Psalm 1. Begins with these words. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, and sits in the seat of scoffers. Blessed is the man who doesn't spend all of his time in the junk of the world, right? But rather, his delight is what? The law of God, the word of God. And on that law, he does what? Is that a habit of yours? Blessed is the man who has a 5-minute devotional with his cup of coffee in the morning. Blessed is the man who might read a few verses before he goes to sleep at night. You can't glean from the scripture in that way. It's helpful. It's a good habit. It's good something to do. But the point is here, he says, blessed is the man who meditates on the law of God. What does the word meditate mean?
Study, concentrate.
Think about it. Meditation is one of those words that's got a bad rap because of transcendental meditation from other religious expressions. Meditation is a godly concept. You meditate upon it day and night. Before I go to sleep tonight, I want to be pointed toward what I'm going to do next Sunday. Because all week long, I'm going to meditate on it. I'm going to get into the passage and I'm going to start reading, and I'm going to pray day and night that God will invade my thinking, helping me to understand, giving me insight to what I'm reading. And I may be on the tractor dragging pasture. I'm riding along, all of a sudden, whoosh, there's a scripture hits me. And I lift my hands up from the wheel of that tractor, and I have a euphoria moment of God touching me and say, yes, that's it. Wow, that is the door. And in that moment, I got to take my foot off the pedal and make sure I don't run over the fence. But it opens a moment with me, with God. You can give me your concordance and give me a verse of scripture somewhere in the Bible has a similar kind of wording, but I don't want that. I want God to give it to me. He give me something with power, and it floods me. And if I'm open, all of a sudden, there's a conversation can move out of that experience. Now, what I'm trying to share with you is this. When we want something from God, we want to drive by the fast food place. When we want something from God, we want to click a button and say, God, I'm reading this passage of scripture. I don't quite understand. Please help me out here, but do so in the next 5 minutes because I got other things to do. Scripture says, you'll seek me and find me when you seek me with what? All your heart. Happens to be Jeremiah 29. Matthew, Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, ask. That's all you got to do is ask me and I'll tell you. No, ask. What's the next? Seek. Knock. Wait a minute. Yeah. That's how it works. Ask. Seek. Knock. If there is this desire that is expressed in this continual searching for and wanting God to answer me. Not a thought out of my head, not out of something I'm going to read in a book, but Jesus promised me that the Spirit will bring to your remembrance the things that you need. And when they come, they'll come with power. They'll come with a life-changing force. Now, it is hard for God to speak to us. Real hard. The junk, noise, and busyness of life are barriers to being able to hear the voice of God. God's got to catch me when my brain's not spinning. And my thoughts aren't about what I'm going to do and am doing and want to do next and all that sort of thing. There's no room for God to put a word in edgewise. Right? Now, sometimes when I'm riding a tractor and dragging that pasture, Travis will tell you, dragging the pasture is fun. Ain't much you can tire up unless you just absolutely run it through the field. And no machine is going to break down. And you can just ride. You know, and you can just relax. And all of a sudden God says, there's an opening. You've been asking, you've been praying, you've been seeking. Here it is. And it's just like it comes out of the side. You know, C.S. Lewis said, God speaks to me mostly obliquely. He doesn't speak to me when I ask directly. It comes at a moment when God's convinced that I really want to know from him. The ask, seek, and knock. Meditate day and night. You know, that concept, he said, if you want to hear from me, then you got to seek for me with all your heart. Now, to meditate is to think deeply, to think continuously. And I get up a lot at night like most old people do, but when I get up, and my feet hit the floor many, many, many times. It's one of those openings when I'm not thinking about anything, and all of a sudden, there it comes. Something I've been working on, something I've been struggling with, something I've been seeking to understand. And I go immediately out to my desk, and I sit down and I begin to write, and God just begins to pour into my life. If I can just stay connected and don't take over. And when God's showing me things and teaching me things, I shut it off when I take over. Oh, I know what that means. I said, whoa, just let God speak. There'll be time for you to think about it later. And that's what I'm telling you, is what the Holy Spirit wants to do and is available to do in your life. And I'm going to tell you something. You can read a commentary. Yeah, it's interesting information. But when you listen to the Father speak to you, it's going to change your life. Because when the Father says it to you, you know, I can read a commentary and say, that's just his opinion. That's what that really means. But when God speaks, you've got to stop and say, wow, this I must do. This is not up for debate. Think deeply. Think continuously. Waiting always. You know, when you're riding down the road and the radio's up at about 70 decibels, or you're in the house and TV's blaring and all that sort of thing, you think God's going to have a great opportunity to speak to you? Not usually. You got to make a spot. I remember one time praying, seeking for the will of God in my life. Very important decision. It was a career changing decision. And I prayed. I even would go off to myself and find a special place. And I was in the military at the time. I was needing to know. I'd been offered an opportunity that would be life changing for me. And I was asking the Lord, do you have a plan for my life? And will this decision, if I accept it, will it change, interfere with what you want to do? Got nothing. I got zero. I found a godly man who I talked to, and he said to me, he said, you can't make God speak. You can't make God speak. You need to be willing. What you can do is being willing to do whatever God says when he speaks. That's your part. Said, are you really wanting to know God's will? And if you really want to know God's will you be willing to do it? Even if it's different than what you want. I said, does it have anything to do with farm? And it may not be, you know. Now, but he said, you must constantly, continually be open for him to speak. So you got to be listening and opening for God to speak when he's ready to speak. Sometimes God doesn't speak because we can't take what he's going to tell us when it's time for us to hear. And our willingness is something we're still working on. But when God speaks, when God brings something to your mind, when he calls scripture into your heart, it will be life-changing. Here's the concept. The scripture, profitable for teaching, profitable for reproof, correction, profitable for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete. So guess what? I want to understand scripture. I want to know what it says. I don't want to know how to implement what it says. Well, that scripture that's there came by inspiration, and it will be understood by inspiration of the Spirit. The Spirit in you will help you. He will inspire you to understand what he inspired others to write. When he calls scripture to mind to us, scripture informing scripture, scripture interpreting scripture, that's what you want. Scripture ties together. You know, as David shared with you this morning for both communion, the dots that connect all the way through from Abraham going all the way to the cross, it is there. And every time the Spirit brings something to your mind that way, it's an insight that we possibly have not observed ourselves. If you're willing to seek with all your heart, ask, seek, and knock, continue open to hear the voice of God, he will speak to you. If I were to come to you and I would say, I got a book that I want you to read. And I assure you that if you read it, the careful reader of this book will find the key to what will bring fullness of life. If I could convince you of that, would you read the book? You'd say, wow, it'd be worth at least a look. And what if I said, there's also a helper that's going to help you try understand what this book is talking about. And would you welcome a helper to help you when you're looking for this? And you say, yes. Well, that book is called the Bible. And the helper is the Holy Spirit. That book will teach you and lead you to the fullness of life. And the Spirit who inspired the writing of that book, will inspire you in the reading of that book to find that fullness that is life. To the degree that you believe that the Scriptures will bring you fullness of life as you follow them, will be the degree to which you benefit from its message. Jesus said, or John says in his gospel, to as many as received him and believed in his name, Jesus gave them power to become what? Children of God. Who are not born of the flesh, but are what?
Spirit.
Born of the Spirit. That's the fullness of life. We have the opportunity to have God as our Father and we as children. Born not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. And that's the message this book has for us that leads us to the fullness of God. When I read of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, going to teach, lead, guide, and glorify, I kind of stopped there. Then as I read a little bit further, and he said, yeah, I'm going to teach you all things and call to your remembrance. He said, I'm going to be an inner voice inside of you. You will hear me like a voice speaking to you as I call Scripture to mind, as I call Scripture to inform Scripture. Just like when I'm like a voice inside of you that calls you to that which is right and away from that which is wrong. God desires this conversation with us. And the more open we are to it, and the more trained we are to not want to think it through, but be inspired, God will help us. And you will be amazed at how he can do his job really well. He can do his job really well. But you've got to break down the barriers. You've got to give opportunity. And the word may come when you're standing in the line at Walmart. And people are going to say, what's happened to you? There's this glow that comes on your face and you lift your hands up and, you know, I'm sorry, but when the Spirit speaks to me this way, I gotta respond. I don't care if I'm driving a tractor. It'll go a little ways on its own. Now, but it all hinges on a desire. You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Ask, seek, and knock. And I'll speak to you. I will lead you to life. Let us pray. Father, we hear of your desire to have a relationship with us. We hear of your statement that my sheep will hear my voice. You want a relationship, and what kind of relationship is there if it's not a conversation involved? And you want a conversation with us, and you want to be that voice inside of us. And you want to come with power that will help us to understand when thoughts and ideas and concepts are coming not wrapped in your presence. I just pray, Father, that we will experience and enjoy and benefit from this dimension of the desire of the Spirit's work within us. Our part, we'll get these barriers out of the way. our part. We need to read the scriptures constantly, seeking to understand what it means for me to do, not just sound out the words. When I read the story of Joseph, it's not just a little novel that I'm reading about the troubles and trials that this man went through. But I say to myself, what do I take away from this account of Joseph? Can I be one who receives that which is abused by men, but what God uses for good? Can I be one who's not having a pity party about how the injustices that are happening to me, but is open to be a means of you touching the lives of others as Joseph did? So I pray, Father, that every day I be diligent to be putting scripture into the storehouse of my mind so the Spirit has something to draw from. I pray that we will know and experience what it means to be inspired, empowered by your word and your voice. In Jesus' name, amen.